Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you very much, Lord. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Your answer to your word, give us life. Your word is a lamp on our feet, the light on our path. Therefore, we are of them that we never walk in darkness. That is given the light of life. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And we turn around and say we are also the light of the world. Help us to always, wherever we go, to let this light so shine that men will see it, Lord God, and glorify thy name. Lord, as we read your holy word this morning, thou being the author of thereof, Lord, we just depend upon you, Lord, that we expand it to our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to mix together with faith. Lord, in the name of the Lord, and profit us in the days to come. Grant it, Father. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Read from Revelation chapter 1, the 18th verse only. And it says, the Lord Jesus Christ here, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. The Bible puts amen there. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If I might take a text from that singular verse, talking this morning, the living word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The 10th verse says, we are in St. John chapter 1. The 10th verse says, he was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. The 14th verse. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Talking about the living word this morning, because he said, I am he that liveth. Who is he? He's the word, the living word. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith. We understand that the words were framed by the word of God. We just read before that all things were created by him, right? So he is the word, the living word, by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Revelation 19:13, towards the end of it, says, and its name is called the word of God, the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word. Jesus is the word, the logos. And we are to actually feed on him. That's right. We are to actually feed on him. He is the word, the logos. And we are to feed on him. Let's read a few verses from John chapter 6. Talking about the living word. We are to feed on him. 33rd verse. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. We have read in John 1:3 that verse 4 that in him was life, right? And the life was the light of men. So here it says the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 48, I am that bread of life, he said. Verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Verse 51, I am the living bread, the Lord said, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, the Lord said. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, that is a compound statement. First of all, those who are sleeping in Christ and so forth, the last day we raise them up. Then the translation also is included. See, because we're going to say in Revelation 4, verse 1, Apostle John, the representative of the church, of the elect and so forth, he said he saw an open door in heaven. I had a voice that said, come up either. That is translation. Apostle Paul was given a profound revelation of the translation and the rapture in many places and so forth. Number one, Paul, chapter 4, he told us in there, the Lord himself, not anybody else, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, he said, with a shout, he said, with the voice of the archangel, and so on. And the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's what he's saying, shall be raised up in the last day. And then we that are alive, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So that raising up is different. We see right there, different dimensions and so forth. Anyway, so we see. And verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Who is he? The word of God. Later on, we're going to read in Matthew 4:4, he said that man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He is the living word. So we see, verse 58, this is our bread, which came down from heaven. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Keep on saying it. The living bread. You see, the living word. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the word of God. Verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, meaning giving life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The living word. Yes. God's word is the living word. Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 68 says, towards the end of it, Simon Peter says, thou hast the word of eternal life, the living word. In Matthew 26:26, that last, day of the feast and so forth, before he was taken over and delivered to the hand of men, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and break it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body, he said. So I just read all of these scriptures here, and there are many of them more, and they are really telling us, and they mean one thing, they mean that, they mean, one is to eat the Lord's words, feed on the word of God, that's what it boils down to, feed on the word of God, and then measure your strength by them. And the Lord said, like I said before, in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Even as he gave the same word to Moses, in the wilderness, they himself come here, who is the word of God, and told us the same thing. So man's spiritual nature, the man's spiritual food. Many times in the Bible, talking about the living word now, feeding on the word of God, very important. Jeremiah the prophet, even in the Old Testament, chapter 15, verse 16, that what were found, I did eat them. See, feeding on the word of God, right? I did eat them. See, it has eat my flesh. Now you need to understand what he was saying. Those Jews were blind, they didn't know what he was talking about. That what were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. In another scripture, I believe in Jeremiah somewhere in India, I don't remember that one right now, he said, that war was like fire in my bones. He said in one place, you know, the living word of God. Ezekiel the prophet, you know, all the prophets. Symbolically, one way or the other, talking about feeding on the word of God. That's what it symbolizes here. I want to read a couple of them here. Symbolizing eating, feeding upon the word of God in different ways this morning. Ezekiel 2, 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious, like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth, and eat that I give thee. Talking about feeding on the word of God, now the living word of God, feeding on it. Verse 9. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me. And lo, a roll of a book was therein, in that hand that was sent unto him, and so forth. And he spread it before me, spread a roll before him. And it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Ezekiel 3:1. You will see more on eating the word of God and so on like that, you know. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go and speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I gave thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. So what are we alluding to here? The text showed that when Ezekiel the prophet was commissioned to God in a ministry to Judah, which had come under judgment, he was given a roll to eat, on which was written, like we read before, lamentation and mourning and woe. When Ezekiel ate the roll, he said, it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. In verse 3 that we read before. But when he prophesied, he declared, I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, he said. So what is he trying to show us here? Before Israel could possess Canaan, the depraved, meaning the morally corrupt inhabitants, had to be extirpated, had to be routed out before they could possess it and some of that, you know. And the thing was this, he said lamentation and woe and so on. Even though they were wicked people and so on, who can find pleasure really in this task of exterminating these moral people, though were immoral and so forth? So who can find pleasure in such a task? Who is not depressed when an incorrigible criminal must be executed? Even today, you know, in our society and so forth, when they put them on death row, who is laughing, who is rejoicing, no matter what they have done? Anybody who has a heart, I mean, what will rejoice, though they did evil, right? When they executed him and so on and so on, the same thing. So, even though, you know, they literally deserve the punishment and the outrage justice demands it, even God himself said that I have no pleasure in the death of him that of the wicked and so forth, that, you know. So that there are two types of the thing, sweetness and then bitterness. So these people are being destroyed, you know. So anyway, even in the book of Revelation, we have a similar thing, you know. It's the same author, right? In Revelation chapter 10, the ninth verse. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. So in a similar manner, and you know, in this text, who was John? John was our brother and so forth. We believe one of the apostles he was, of the Lamb, was caught up into heaven, like I said before. And as an official representative of the raptured church, that's who he was. And that is symbolizes the representative of those who are going to be raptured. In eating the book, it's receiving where what many believe to be that it will be tied too deep to the earth. Many believe that. That book is tied deep to the earth. Many believe that. Anyway, in eating it, and then too, those in heaven must feel for the terrible suffering. Why was he beside his bed now? The terrible suffering and the anguish of the tribulation saints. See? He was raptured to heaven, right? And this little book has turned around that he had. And it's written in his mouth, but in his belly. So those who are in heaven, yeah. Like the judgment has fell upon the inhabitants of Israel and so on, the temple of Ezekiel. So the terrible suffering of the tribulation saints who are helpless before the cruel persecution of the Antichrist. So who can be rejoicing and so on, that you know? In a real sense, even the raptured saints will share the sufferings of those left on earth who must take the full shock of the fury of the beast. This is a bitter side of this execution of judgment upon the world. Before the heart can be taken over by the saints, it must be purged and cleansed. So the bitter part is when you see at a vantage point in heaven, when the people receiving the mark of the beast, when we are raptured and so on, that you know, and the people can't buy and sell without a mark. And when you see the judgment that is going to come upon the world, the rock fall upon them, they want to die, they want to be able to die and so forth. That is the bitter part of all, the judgmental part of it when you begin to see from vantage point from on high. That makes his belly to be bitter, even though it was a time of the rapture and so on, that you know. Job, even instead, talking about feeding upon the word of God, right? So now, Job 23:12. I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. At time food means nothing. Just want the word of God, right? That's how it should be. Even more, Job told us more. Job 22, verse 22. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. That is the word of God. The law from his mouth. And lay up his word in thy heart. See the living word, right? And even as in the living word, as you feed on it, we bring prosperity. As I'm going to see right now, right, even right there, it's couched in this scripture here in the book of Job too. You know, many things from that living word. So, and his word in the heart. If thou turn to the Almighty, how do you turn? By eating the word, right? Turn to the Almighty. Thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity from the tabernacle. Then, verse 24, then shalt thou lay up gold as dust. It all began by laying his word, by feeding upon his word, right? You know, receiving the law out of his mouth and feeding upon the word of God, all these things will come about, you know. So the word will reveal to you. If you have committed anything, then you repent of it, right? You know what the Bible says? So and then all these things will be to you. Then shall thou lay up gold as the dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. And I keep on going right there, many blessings come. It all started by receiving the word out of his mouth, and lay his word in your heart and so forth. Joshua chapter 1, you know, the mighty conqueror, the conqueror of Canaan. He has been working with Moses. He was a very humble person, staying in the background throughout the entire time of Moses' ministry. And it came the time that Moses must leave the scene. And all of us need encouragement, one time or the other. So what encouragement did Joshua get? Has to do with the eating of the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That's the word of God, right? But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. See the significance of the living word. It's the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You see? Eating that word, feeding upon it, bring prosperity. Anywhere you look at it in the Bible and so forth. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then shalt thou have a good success. All these things come by feeding upon the living word. The word of God. Even Joshua wasn't an exception. Tell me, all the battles that he fought to get the land, from Jericho, the very first one, it was the Lord that was there. You know, throughout, the Lord was involved in all of those battles. At one time, he appeared to him with a drawn sword. Joshua said, "Are thou with us or against us?" He didn't know who he was initially. "Are thou for us or against us?" "Oh, I'm the captain of the host of the Lord." Then he fell down on his face and worshipped him. God in the flesh. You see? You know, we saw him there. Every battle from Jericho to the last land of God, it was the Lord involved. What of Jericho, even the very first one, you know, the Lord, he walked with him and so forth. You know, and so on. So you see, God working with them, you know, throughout their journey. And so the commission was, and he's getting many things here, you know, in verse 9 and so forth, and actually in that same book and so forth. You know, all the meaning of the word of God. Even David, of course, exalted the word of God a lot. He came to a place, the Holy Ghost revealed to him. I don't have that one scripture. Yeah, I think it's in Psalm, I believe it's in it says that word has thou exalted above all that thy name is. But here in Psalm 1 verse 2. But its delight is in the law of the Lord. This is the word of God anyway. And in his law does he meditate day and night. That was what he told Joshua. And all this gives us an example. If you can't sleep at night, begin to meditate upon the word of God. Praise the Lord. Even David said he kept night watches. He called it night watches in the book of Psalms, right? You know. So the living word, feeding upon the word of God. Psalms 119 verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Isn't that what Job said? He said there is word of knowing your heart, right? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. There are many of them in the Psalms, see in Psalm 119, 148. My eyes prevent the night watches, right there, that I might meditate in thy word. So the living word, eating the word of God, meditating, feeding upon it, the living word of God, that the Lord told us in John chapter 6, referring to the word of God, and the Jews could not understand it. So this should be the continual attitude of the child of God towards the Bible. What I've been reading all morning. Our continual attitude towards the Bible, the word of God, having the first place in your daily reading, and the first place in your daily meditation, the word of God. See? Apostle Paul, in a bidding farewell to the elders of the church of Ephesus that is summoned together in Acts 20, verse 32. In his farewell address to them, here is what he said in verse 32. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace," see that, "which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." In other words, the word, it is the word of God that gives us an inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, that's what they could do. They wept. I know they were at the shore when he was leaving. They fell upon his knees and they were weeping as Paul was leaving them, you know, for the last time. You know, I'm talking about, you know. All they could do is to commit to the word of God, the word of his grace, the living word that is able to build them up, he says. Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Not haphazardly now, you know, but richly. Meaning you just feed on it and meditate day and night, he said. So richly, put the word richly there. You know, so feed upon the word of God, the living word. John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, the living word, right? Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. It is the living, abiding word in us that makes us effectual workers for our Lord Jesus Christ. You know? It is the word of God, the living word. In Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. It has been said, the word Jehovah has three senses. Yeah, the word Jehovah has three senses. Imagine Hebrews 13:8. It means the past, present, and future. That's what Jehovah. It's like Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. So the Jehovah, the word means, has three senses in it, past, present, and future. Likewise, there are three tenses in redemption, meaning what God has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. Three tenses in redemption. What he was, he is. What he is now, he will be tomorrow. See? Different viewpoints of him being the same yesterday, today, and forever. The most unique feature of this is that the word that he spoke back yonder is now. His word is now. His word is living. See the living word, right? His word is living. You know? Now. His word is authoritative right now. God's word, the living word. His word has power to save right now. His word has power to heal right now. The living word. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Talking about the living word of God, right? It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. Nothing else can do that in the whole wide world. And of the joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word quick that is used in that verse, say it's quick, right? It means alive. The living word of God. Praise the Lord. It means alive. The living word. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the word of God. Our eternal high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, after the power of an endless life, the living word, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Hebrews chapter 7, where I get all those things from. See? The living word. The written word, which becomes life and spirit, as the Holy Spirit reveals and show it unto all, is alive. That written word. When you read it and the Holy Ghost take it, become life. Psalm 119 verse 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Or if you like, for with them thou hast kept me alive. See, the living word. He told us in John 6, that's why I read John 6 before. See? The living word. Proverbs 4:22. For they, meaning the word of God, are life unto those that find them, and heir to all their flesh. The living word. God's word is. The word that God speaks is living and full of energy, supernatural energy. Aggressive. And accomplishing the purpose for which it was sent. Isaiah the 56th chapter tells us that. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. This thing encouraging us to feed upon the living word. I mean, more than anything else, really. You know, God's word is living. And what was spoken thousands of years ago still stands to today. In fact, the psalmist said, I believe in one, he said, that word, oh God, is settled forever. Another psalm. So what he said thousands of years ago still stands to today. It's immutable, unchangeable. It was written and spoken, meaning the word of God, and given. It was written, spoken, and given. And this stands written today, spoken, and given, and operative, God's word. For God will still make it good to those who rely upon that word, the living word. The word of God is not dead. It's alive. It's a living word. The word is that which is written, taken by the Holy Spirit and applied to us as we partake of it. See? Partake of it, feeding upon it. The word is not the black and white, meaning that you just read in your Bible like that alone, but that which was recorded and made read to us by the Holy Spirit, taking the letter by itself without the unveiling and revealing of the Spirit of God can bring death. So in 2 Corinthians 3, 6, which we are told, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Only the Spirit of truth can reveal the word of truth, really. And of course, main tradition, the Lord Jesus told us in Mark 7:13, we make the word of God of none effect by their traditions. So we don't want traditions, just want the pure word of God, as revealed by the Holy Spirit unto us. The word of God is operative on our behalf when we are establishing the truth, not bogged down by tradition. So, the Holy Spirit, who inspired men to write this Bible, reveals to men today who read, study, and meditate in the Scripture. He does all those things. Yes. Furthermore, our Lord Jesus Christ is the Christ of now. He is walking now. He is now our Lord Jesus Christ. As young as I am, not as I was. See, the living word, where the story of the giving of the manna in the wilderness that the Jews reference to in the discourse with our Lord Jesus Christ it's in Exodus 16. I don't want to read it, but I want to just kind of refer to it a little bit. So that's where the story of the manna was told, Exodus 16, 14 to 20. That teaches us that a great lesson of daily dependence on God. This manna, the giving of the manna, teaches us a great lesson of daily dependence on God. They were to receive manna only enough for a day's supply. No man could gather a supply for several days and hoard it for future use. Couldn't do it. Those who did found that it bred worms and was unfit for human consumption. And so it is with the word of God. The word must be studied daily, meditated on daily, and fed on daily, or else its power will not be experienced by the individual who so did. Okay? The Israelites, they could not preserve the manna in camps like a camp food today. They couldn't do it. You know, and or any other way, they could not dry it so that it can be preserved. They couldn't do it. You know, they couldn't do that. And it was good for one day only. What a striking thought that is, just for one day only. So your experiences in Christ are like that too, one way or the other. You know, the experiences of yesterday may not work today. See, it may not work today. Many of us have tried to preserve our experiences, but without success. Any wonder even God's word told us in Isaiah 43 verse 18, Remember you know the former things. Neither consider things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now I shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, like our brother was testifying along with this scripture and so on. And rivers in the desert. That's good for this morning to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. In your life, in my life, do a new thing. Thank God for this. Yes, sir, yes, and so forth, that, you know. But he's telling us this morning, it's a living word. The word is now. What he said is just for now, for you and I. It's good for now. Do a new thing. Make a way for you. Even make a way for you in the wilderness and so forth. And rivers in the desert. We are not to rest on yesterday's laurels. What I mean by that? We are not to be so happy with previous successes to the extent that we are not doing much today to continue succeeding. See? Don't rest on yesterday's laurels. Let Israel go forward. Let Israel go forward and so that you know. Let's go into greater eyes in Christ. You know, and striving, you know, that for that the price of that high calling of God in Christ. Shouldn't get our eyes off of it. And that is something common among many children of God. What I'm talking about right now. Some really want to have a healing. They can't lose. Instead of a health that comes from a daily dependence on the quickening power of the Spirit of God. See? And some of them lose. So you see, as we depend on God daily for differences and so on. Many would rather have financial security that does not compel them daily to go to the secret chamber and ask to meet or ask the Lord to meet their needs. That's what many Christians want to do. Okay? Now, many will like to have a baptism of the Holy Ghost that does not require a daily waiting on God for a fresh anointing. Even David, the Old Testament, knew the secret in Psalm 92 verse 10 towards the end. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. See?
Amen.
So not just to receive the Holy Ghost one time, that's it. No. Daily communication and seeking the anointing of the Lord. David said, he's called it fresh oil. Could I just say oil? Say fresh oil. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So this kind of desires are not in accordance with God's purpose. God's plan involves a daily dependence on Him. Without Him, He told us in John 15:5, we can do nothing really without Him. Now, if we are to successfully accomplish His will in our lives, we must not allow a single day to pass without that vital communion with God. Don't let it, you know. Daily communion with the Lord. And we know men are careful to partake regularly of the natural food, but they are not so careful about the inner man, which also needs a daily replenishing. Your spirit needs a daily replenishing by the living word of God. Just as the body feels the effect of doing without food, so the spirit suffers when it fails to be fed on the bread of life, the living word of God, whether they know it or not. See? You don't. Just go not eating for a few days. And you fast all the time, you know why you feel, right? Well, that's a different thing. So the spirit also suffers, whatever, some pain when it's not fed regularly. I will say daily on the word of the Lord. Let's pick a man in the Bible. You can never finish talking about him, the man called Daniel. Daniel is a friendly illustration of one who learned the secret of true success. His life spanned a century, during which time dynasties rose and fell. We all know the story of Daniel. It was one of the most turbulent eras in the history of this world. Time and again, Daniel's life was in great or grave jeopardy. You know his story. Once, he was condemned to perish with all the wise men of Babylon. At another time, he was thrown alive into a den of vicious lions. On each occasion, his life was miraculously preserved. His integrity and wisdom caused him to rise in favor with each succeeding regime. Because the Spirit of God dwelt in Daniel, he was admired and respected by kings and queens, you know, in those kingdoms and so forth. Whenever an emergency arose, they turned to Daniel for help. For the better part of a century, his life influenced nations. His fearless courage and faith moved kings to acknowledge the true God. What was the secret of this man, of this prophet rather? The answer is that prayer was a business with him. He did not go running to God just when some crisis appeared. Anyway, crises were common in his life anyway, but when they came, he always knew what to do. 3 times a day, he met with God and gave thanks. This was a daily habit with Daniel, that nothing was allowed to interrupt that habit, nothing on earth. Whether, you know, what turned to the lions then, is that persistent prayer. His enemies colluded. We know how to get him. He was a man of God and a prophet and so on. Actually, they can't malpractice or mess up the kingdom business. But Daniel was the head of all of them. How do we get him? Envy and everything. We know how to get him. You can never do without prayer. Let's make a decree. Let the king, and we don't want the story and so on. So no matter what, lions then or what, couldn't start up his prayer life. That should be a pattern. All written for our example. Bible says, the things which are written our first time are for our admonition and our example, that we through the scripture may have hope. Praise be the Lord. Amen. God has ordained that men should have at their command the resources of heaven, you and I, God's children. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24:28-18, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in her. In Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There are many ways to do that today. Maybe you can't go to India today, or you can't go to, I don't know, North Korea or whatever. Maybe there are missionaries that are fishing there. You can support them, and you can preach the gospel right out of your house. Of course, what we can reach here, we do that also. Praise the Lord. See? Go into all the world. That's where you go into all the world, right? You can preach, you can witness in your local area. But how do you go into all the world? That's one way of doing it, you know. Don't forget that giving to the gospel is a ministry in its own self that we show before and it has reward. John 13:21. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Send I you. So the church can undertake this momentous task because why? All power has been made available to you and I. To those who day by day keep contact with the Lord. God wants us to be daily in utter dependence on Him. That's what He wants, you know. So John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. He wants us to daily feel the need for the strength of His presence, of His sustaining power. He wants us to feel it every day. And that's the reason He taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Bible says He was praying in a certain place. And when He had ceased, they asked Him, said, Lord, teach us how to pray. He taught by example. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, teach us how to pray. Anyway, what did you say? One of the things is that give us day by day our daily bread. He did not ask us to even pray for year supply. Not even for a month supply. Or even a week supply of bread. Say day by day, right? Daily dependence upon the Lord. These have been preached in different places, in different ways and so forth. Now, His promise, rallying up this morning, just exhorting the word of God and draw our attention that this word of God is a living word of God. See? And we should feed on it daily, not interrupting us. His promise in John 15:16 was to last until he comes. What was the promise? Whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, we give it to you. That promise will last until Jesus comes. We never fail. He even said in one place, heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. Likewise, his promise in Mark 16:17-18 was to last until he comes. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And you can leave all of them there. They stand. Never mind all those people, who has come back and say, oh, those things is in the days of the apostles. Never mind them, you know. All these things, they remain to the coming of the Lord. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, or even the gifts of the Spirit, they are where I'm at today. Some will say, the speaking in tongues and so forth, say some will see. Not in this age, praise the Lord. Not in this age, it's in the age when the perfect is come, the perfect age. That's why we don't need tongues anymore. This is not the perfect age, praise the Lord. So when you hear that one, don't follow them. Now, we didn't run it up here this morning. So the word of the Lord is fresh, as if he had just spoken them yesterday or today. The living word is always fresh. When he says in Matthew 18:19, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. That promise is just as new and fresh as if the Lord just spoke it right now. It's good. It will never pass away. I read John 15:7 before, maybe last scripture here this morning, exhorting the word of God and encouraging us to continue to feed upon the word of God. It is the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the word of the living God. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. It's as fresh as when he spoke it, even today, as good as that. So no word of God ever grows old. Never. It has perennial freshness. It renews itself continually. It is the living word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But our sons, people faith that the world was framed by the word of God. Bible says in Colossians 1:16. For Bible says all things were created by him that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, be they thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him, the word of the living God. As we go this morning, Lord, and the Holy Spirit reminding us the potency of the word of God. This is the word of God created the whole universe. And Lord, this word of God in our mouth, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, nothing shall be impossible unto us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Let it be daily mixed with faith in our heart. Let us never let anything be substituted for it. That nothing like the word of God, because he is the creator of all things. We thank you, Father. We worship and we adore you, Lord. Your word, O Lord God. Now we say, O Lord God, is life, life unto us, Lord. Thou hast the word of eternal life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now we say, this is the true God and eternal life, our Lord Jesus Christ. By it we overcome the world. Oh, they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, which is the word of the living God. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith in what? In the living word of God. Thank you for the excellency of your word. Father, in Jesus Christ's name, our Lord, we thank thee. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Exalting the word of God. Amen.